Okay.
I was saving it for the radio.
Okay.
But so I have been really negligent on buying baby presents for three of our friends'
grandchildren.
And so I made a little chart, and I called each grandmother who was my friend, and I said, can you give me the name of the baby and their address? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
These were the names of the babies.
Okay.
Blake, Sydney, and Sawyer.
Are they all girls?
I have no idea what they are.
Okay. Because Sydney's a big one
Sydney,
for girls.
I counted on Sydney being a girl. Sawyer was confounding to me because I felt, and Blake could definitely be a girl or a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sawyer, I didn't know. So you know what I got them all? Denim shirts.
Works fine. Baby denim shirts, the cutest.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Yeah.
That just reminds me of the wonderful video from Key and Peele. You know who Key and Peele are?
Sure.
The substitute teacher.
Yeah.
And he comes in. He's going to be real
this
tough.
Is a name thing.
Right. And he starts reading and he goes, Balake? And everybody kind of sits there and he goes, Balake? Is there a Balake here?
And he's not that nice about it. He's
oh,
like,
no, he's a Balake. Very... Oh.
You're messing with me. I'm going to get
right.
you, Balake.
Right. And so this kid, right, I think the kid has chemistry goggles on or something, and he raises his hand and he goes, Blake?
Don't you mess with me, Balake.
Oh my God. It's, if you need a laugh, just Google substitute teacher Key and Peele. Hilarious.
Oh, yeah. It's anyway, the best one they ever did.
It's way up there.
Don't forget A-A-Ron.
A-A-Ron.
And then he reads Jacqueline is
Jacqueline. Jacqueline. And then he sends a kid to Mr. O'Shack Hennessy's office.
Right. You mean, starts ripping
up. You mean Mr. O'Shaughnessy? Yeah. It's hilarious. Hilarious. Morning, Sam.
Good morning.
I just thought I would start with, I posted a picture on our Kathy and Judy Facebook page. And this is a picture of Honey. And Honey is my new old rescue dog. I've been talking for a long time about adopting a senior dog. And because they're not often adopted from shelters, people figure, oh, it's going to die. Let's get something that we can
unlike
have.
Unlike a younger dog
for a
who
lifetime.
Would never die.
Right, exactly. So anyway, I went with a good friend, several places. To several different shelters and went back and looked at this one and looked at that one.
Yeah,
and
you were really diligent
I was.
This.
I was. And finally settled on, well, they called her Sweetie, but I changed her name to Honey because I kept calling her that. It's like, come on, Honey. And then I just thought, well, I guess that's your name. So anyway, I know a lot of you get shelter dogs, and there is sort of this perception because there's so many videos out there. This shelter dog was miserable until he was adopted. Look at him now. And he's jumping all over everybody and his tail is going
video,
crazy.
Is
he's just going crazy. And Honey is kind of, whatever. I have not seen. And I don't know if this is, I don't know. I think Honey has not had a good life. Honey's 10 years old. She was brought up to Orphans of the Storm, where I got her from a shelter in Kentucky or Tennessee or whatever. I think she's not been treated well. She tends to cower when you go to pet her. So you have to come at her from the front so mm-hmm. that she knows you're coming and that you're not there to hit her. And she also has an interesting habit. And I guess I wonder if this is, what's up with this? For those of you who have dogs, I haven't had a dog in a long time. It's been at least 15 or 20 years since I've had a dog. And our number is 312-981-7200. Maybe to hear your stories of shelter dogs, because rescue dogs, that's...
They carry a lot of stuff.
So 312-981-7200. Honey poops on the go.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I tend after she pees, after she squats and pees, to walk her out in the street because when she's on the sidewalk, I let her walk in front of me, which I know you're not supposed to do, but come on, she's 10, give the girl a break. I let her walk in front of me so I can see when this is happening. But if if she walks behind you, all of a sudden you look back behind you and see there's like five turds sitting on the sidewalk. And so I just wondered, why do dogs do that?
I've never heard of a dog that did that.
Oh, really?
I'm sure there's somebody else's dog that does.
And it may also have to do with the fact that she has spent so much time in shelter spaces where there's a concrete floor. But I don't know why, you know, that she feels more comfortable doing it on the sidewalk. She doesn't do it in the grass. She does it on the sidewalk or on the street when I walk her in the street. So I'm just curious about that. And then the other thing is...
That's good exercise for you, though. You bend, you pick up.
Oh, right. And she's good exercise for me. I mean, I figure that Honey is getting me out to walk 3 or 4 times a day, and I'm giving her a soft place to sleep, and nobody's hurting her. So it seems like a kind of a fair exchange. I will be very excited on the day, if and when, she wags her tail. I have not seen this dog wag her tail once, which kind of breaks my heart. You know, I'm kind of thinking, are you happy or just have you never figured out how to do this? Well, here, this is Barb. Barb, you just adopted a shelter dog, right? Barb?
Yeah.
Okay. Is your shelter dog the kind in the videos that just is so happy to live with you that it's just jumping all over you all the time?
Yeah, she is. She is the third shelter dog that I have adopted.
Okay.
And the story with this little dog was I had just lost my last shelter dog from cancer. And so I knew I just couldn't be without a dog. So I checked out a lot of different shelters, went and looked at the dogs and interacted with them. And I came across this little dog. She was about between a year and a year and a half old. She came up from a Highkill shelter from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And
what is it about Kentucky? Right.
Yeah. And I got her from a shelter in Belvedere. And
how's it working out, Barb?
It's working out real well now, but at first it did not. I had her, after I had gotten her, I had her in the emergency vet 2 days after I got her because she was pooping blood.
Oh, well, that's not good. Right.
No. Come to find out, she was full of worms.
Mm.
So the vet had to treat that. But to make a long story short, she's thriving now. She's putting on weight. She does have this head tremor. And I was really concerned about that when I adopted her, but I felt so sorry for her. I got her anyway.
Does she poop in one place? She's 1.5.
Pardon me?
Oh, 1.5. I missed that
part.
Does
she poop in one place?
Right. I'm sorry, what?
Well, I'm asking the all-important question. Does she poop in one place?
Or does she poop as she's walking?
No, she stops and poops.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
okay. It'd be interesting to find amongst our callers.
Honey's a multitasker.
A progressive pooper.
Exactly. Well, yeah. Barb, good luck with your new shelter dog.
Okay.
Glad you called. Thank you. And we'll take more of your calls and texts at 312-981-7200.
How much is that doggy in the window?
Poop, poop.
Well, she was. I can't remember what I paid. It was $100 or something, an adoption fee from Orphans of the Storm. So we're just talking about it. I posted a picture of Honey on our Kathy and Judy page. And it's encouraging. On the text line, a lot of people are saying, I also adopted a rescue, and it took a long time for them to wag their tail. Takes a long time for them to figure out they're not going from here to another place. So I'm fine. I'm patient with that. And I figured she may never wag her tail. But at least she's sleeping on a soft surface, and at least she gets walked.
Doesn't she sleep on your bed?
No, she sleeps in her bed on the floor next to my bed. The cats sleep on the bed.
And that's a whole other chapter.
Well, that's a whole other chapter because my cats never were allowed to sleep on the bed. But now they are sort of my guilt offering to them.
Yeah.
Although I've had two cats for a long time. And this dog, it appeared when I adopted her that she was fine with cats. But once she settled in and once my cat started getting all bitchy with her, you know, poor thing, she'll just walk by the table and they'll just go, And then she'll turn around and go, hurr. So nobody's been hurt yet. Nobody's been killed. When I'm gone for several hours, I come back and everybody is still alive. So they're figuring it out. But I think it's actually a boon for my cats because their lives aren't boring anymore. There's stuff going on.
They have someone to hate.
Exactly. So we're talking about, I'm just curious because I've never had a dog that pooped as it walked. And Wendy, you have a shelter dog that has interesting pooping habits? Wendy?
Yeah, hi. We got it. Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay.
We have a new dog named Corky.
Mm-hmm.
And she, when we got her, she was a shelter dog, age 3, and she did not eat for a week when we got her.
Oh,
she was so nervous.
Oh, gosh. And how long have you had her?
We've had her about 4 months.
How's she doing?
She's doing good, but she will not poop in our yard. She only poops in the neighbor's yards.
That must make
nice
you a big
quality.
Favorite. Yeah,
and I've even collected her poop and sprinkled around the yard, thinking that would help. But she just will not do that.
That's
what does
devotion.
Your vet say?
Nothing. I mean, they don't think it's a problem because she poops plenty. It's just she won't do it in our yard. She's really picky where she goes.
Hmm. Oh, Corky.
But anyway,
Corky.
Her tail, when she has a curly tail that comes up like an Eskimo dog.
Right.
And she kept her tail down for at least a month. And now it's curling up. And I just noticed yesterday she ran out of the room and it was wagging.
Oh, that's sweet. Well, that may happen. I mean, Honey has a tail that looks like a coyote tail. Looks like a wolf tail or a coyote tail. It's long and very thick and got a little black tip at the end of it. So, but I just haven't seen it wag yet. I'll watch for it. It'll happen.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
I'm sure she'll come along. It's great. It's so much fun.
Thank you, Wendy.
Can I just ask a quick question?
Sure.
Maybe we can get some texts on it.
Yeah.
Toby will barf and then eat it up.
Yum, yum.
in our bedroom.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling you, he is the best stain
cleaner. How often does this happen?
Well, it just happened the other night, and it happened maybe about 3 weeks ago. So I want to know if anybody else's dog barfs and then eats it.
All right. So we're
talking
about
which is a nice quality.
Pooping.
I didn't pay extra for that.
Pooping
and barfing.
And Toby is also a rescue.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Toby's a beautiful, sweet dog. This is Jane. Hi, Jane.
Hi. How are you?
All right. You can relate. You have a dog with the same pooping issue?
I have dogs that have both those issues.
really?
Yeah.
It's well, Kathy and Judy dog.
We've almost all our dogs, first of all, about the throwing up issue, almost all our dogs have eaten what they've thrown up. I don't know if that's just something they do as a survival technique or what, because they don't.
To eliminate don't traces of themselves,
there.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't think that's unusual.
You don't?
But we did adopt a rescue dog from a shelter back in May, and it came via Oklahoma. I guess it was found as a stray in Oklahoma, and he was brought up to Chicago, and he had heartworm disease, and we treated that, and he's been fine, but he has this odd habit, same thing. We'll walk him, and the only place he'll go, he'll poop, is on the sidewalk.
Yeah, there has to be history about that.
Well, we think he also we have a farm up in Michigan we go to, and his favorite thing is to go and lay underneath a truck, my husband's truck, on the concrete pad. And so we're thinking maybe he just...
that's how he lived.
A dog that was kept outside, and that's probably the case with your dog, and especially being 10 years old. You know, he might not have been well socialized, might have been just tied up outside. You know, it's so sad, these stories. But
On our Facebook page where I posted the picture of Sweet Honey, some of our girlfriends are posting stories of their own rescue dogs, one that had to be desensitized to the sound of aluminum foil.
Yeah.
And wouldn't walk through the person's kitchen. So everybody you know, every dog has its own history, and you just don't know what it is, and you just have to give them time. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Jane, thank
and
you for...
your heart for adopting an older dog. And it's, you know, they're going to be calmer. They're not going to be the type that's jumping up and all that.
Yeah, she's that's very mellow. She doesn't bark. She doesn't bark, which is nice. I like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, you hear her every now and again in her sleep. She'll... So it's not like her vocal cords have been taken out or anything. But
yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jane.
Good luck.
Okay. And this is Christy.
Hour.
This is Christy that has a very special dog. Yes, Christy?
Yes. Judy, Kathy. Hi, girlfriend.
Hi. You have a dog, not unlike Judy's, that will barf and then clean up his own barf.
Yes.
But.
He does. They do one better. And if the cat barfs, they run to clean that up.
Oh, my God. Excellent. Excellent.
Yes.
So he cleans up not only his barf, but the cats as well.
The barf of others.
Christy.
Quite an animal.
Christy, what's that fine dog's name?
Her name is Fatty, spelled P-H-A-T-T-Y.
And the J is for what?
No, Fatty.
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 Like being fat.
Yes, except with a P-H instead of an F.
Oh, P-H-A-T-T-Y.
Yep.
That's very Vietnamese.
Yeah.
And she was I rescued her and four siblings from a horrible situation when they were a couple days old and found homes for all of them and kept Fatty.
And kept Fatty. All right. Thank you, Christy.
Thank you, girlfriend.
Bye-bye. Kristen often posts a lot of our texts when we're on the air so that you can also see what we're seeing when we look at our text line. A lot of interesting stories about dogs, particularly shelter dogs. But I said to Judy, this brings to mind one of the funniest conversations we ever had about dogs.
What was it?
Dogs, and it usually was not German Shepherds. What are the pretty retrievers and labs tend to eat women's underpants out of the hamper.
That's right.
That they will go in the hamper and find women's underpants and eat them. That's just,
well,
just came to
there's me. All kinds of things that could be said about that, but we shall refrain. That's the very expensive to see Barbara Streisand. Yeah.
Did you see her?
No.
Oh.
I mean, but weren't tickets going? Tickets are always going for in four figures.
Yeah, it's crazy.
For the most time.
It's crazy.
Well, the reason that we're playing that, did you want to tell me something?
I just have a question about that mattress ad.
Uh-huh.
Don't you cut the tags off your mattress when you get it? I mean, I'm always, he says, check your mattress tags. I get a new mattress and I cut the tags off. It says not to be removed except by consumer.
Oh,
do you still have your tags on your mattress?
I don't think so.
I have no idea when I bought mine.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Anyway, no. That's just a little detour.
So
right,
the
memories.
So the memory thing is because I read a very sweet article, maybe in the past 2 weeks, about a woman's mom who had passed away, and what she was most meaningful for her to keep of her mom's things was a receipt that they found in her purse, which was the last thing she had bought.
Okay.
I don't remember what the last thing was. You know, okay. It could have been Cheerios. I have no idea. And I remember...
Panty liners.
You're pretty sure that'll be the last thing.
Very likely. Okay. Yes.
So... I was wondering, and we had this conversation, oh, Lordy, you know, probably 20-some years ago about what people kept, and there was one woman who had kept her mom's teeth.
I remember that.
And we fell on the floor while trying to be respectful, which was rather difficult.
Yes.
And I thought it would be interesting to, you know, survey you guys and see what you've kept from your mom or your dad that was outside of the ordinary, you know, not just a picture or something, but something that for some reason spoke to you. My dad had a 4,000-pound silver ID bracelet. He never went to a gold chain, but somehow this bracelet spoke to him, and it just says, Johnny Lindheim. And when he died, because that was his name, sort of, my mother said, you know, to my brother, do you want this? And they had a complicated relationship, and Jimmy wasn't a ID bracelet guy. So I took it, and I've moved it from every single house that I've lived in. I mean, it doesn't take up a lot of space. It's not like an armoire or something, but I never wear it. I can't, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen to it. Maybe Erin, my daughter, will take it.
Did she ever know your father?
Yes.
As a young child?
Yeah. Like, right. She was, I think, four when he died.
Right.
But she has...
So what connection would she have to it?
Well, it's kind of an heirloom.
Well, you're talking to the world's most unsentimental person. So I remember when my mom died, I took one thing.
What?
And it was... towards the end of her life, she began collecting little glass, clear glass, but colored glass things to put on the windowsill to catch the sun. And one of them was she loved cardinals. And it's a tiny little cardinal made of red glass on a string. And I have that in my window. And that's it.
Does it make you feel, think of your mom when you see it?
Well, I look at it and think of my mom, but
yeah,
sometimes, I don't know.
But it's not a common thing to take, you know, one piece from a collection. Very often someone might take a collection.
Right. I mean, it's there so I can see it every day. I'm sure I sometimes look right past it. I'm with the world's hardest heart.
I think I'll go hang up my daddy's ID bracelet
in the window.
In my kitchen window.
Right, exactly. And this is
Lynn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right, well, Lorraine.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Kathy. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
Hi.
When my mom passed away 5 years ago, my sister and I, of course, cleaned out her purses and, you know, all the little gutsy stuff that they tend to collect over the years and everything. And I met some lady at an arts and crafts show who was doing jewelry, custom-made jewelry. And I told her about this collection of keys and jewel cards and rosary beads and all this stuff that we found in my mom's purses. She made three of the most beautiful necklaces using every piece of what was in
her jewel card. Her whole rosary must be the basis of one of them then. I mean, you couldn't hang around.
We gave her permission to cut the rosary so that provided like the connection between the next thing. So one part of the rosary was connected to her car key, but she decorated the car key with like a pearl or some rhinestones and then made a hole at the other end of the car key, another piece of rosary bead. What else has she got on there?
What did she do with the jewel card?
You know, the little jewel card that you put on your keychain?
Oh, the keychain one. Okay.
Wow.
So everyone's necklace is different.
Everyone is different. Everyone has significant things that she used to keep in her purse, her house key, her car key.
Did like her Aleve go in there? Like if she was walking around with, you know, a pillbox of Aleve?
No, it was just other things that were memorable to her, like her miraculous medal. And but
let me guess, she wasn't Jewish.
She was.
Yeah. Bingo. There you go. Well, that's...
We all have these, and there's such conversation pieces when we go someplace. We also interspersed some pieces of her very old vintage jewelry that she had that we found in her jewelry bag.
Can you send us a picture? We'll just post it on our Facebook page.
Well, she can't post. She can send us a message, but we have to post it.
Okay, I don't know how to post anyway. An email and include the picture with it.
That would be great. Send us an email. That would be great.
Okay.
Fascinating idea.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
so much.
Lorraine. 312-981-7200. This is Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, ladies. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks.
You too.
What did you save?
I saved just about everything. I am a saver, but the one thing my daughter and I pulled it out last night. I have a bottle of my mom's Giorgio cologne or perfume, which I couldn't stand the smell of all the time she wore it. I would ask her, please, mom, don't wear it when you come to my house. It gives me a headache. But I know, and I don't even open the bottle. I just kind of smelled the outside, and I burst into tears last night just smelling it.
Oh my goodness!
It brought back her scent. You know, it brought back. You know, it just it really does bring it right back to you. The funnier thing was in this box also, I saved one of those rain bonnets that she
used to collect those so they'd get off the streets.
Right.
With a hat pin that she must have, and I haven't seen a hat pin in years. A hat pin that she must have, you know, pinned it on her head with. So it was fun.
You know, the perfume thing is interesting because I think as we age that our sense of smell is not as strong, is not as good. And I think older women sometimes tend, number one, to overdose, to put more on than really is necessary.
Absolutely.
And number two, to use old perfume because the older perfume gets, the more pungent it gets.
If I didn't know that.
Yeah, if it's 10 years old, it's beyond its useful life. So if you get on a plane next to somebody and go, oh, it's Obsession from 1987. overdosed and too old. So very interesting. Lynn, thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. 312-981-7200. Back to the things that you saved that belonged to somebody you loved.
Memories. We're talking about what you may have kept when your parent departed the world that is not sort of the standard photo or whatever, but something unusual. And this is Nancy. Hi, Nancy.
Hello. How are you?
We're good.
What happened in your family?
Well, when my mother passed away, we had no problem divvying up her jewelry and her collections and stuff. But boy, when it came to her gallstones, all four of us wanted them.
Did she have four gallstones so you each could get one?
She had two. You know, she had two large gallstones, maybe a little bit smaller than walnuts, almost perfectly matched in size.
Uh-huh.
And they were green and iridescent gold, and she always said she was going to have them made into earrings. And they were just beautiful, and we all wanted them because, I don't know, my mother was odd and she liked them.
Who won?
Yeah, well, how'd you figure it out?
My brother got them because he was the oldest.
And how does he like his earrings?
They come to me. I don't think he ever had them made into earrings, but you know.
What does he do with them?
Is he dead?
No, he's alive. He's alive, and he's still got mom's gallstones.
Does he get invited to Thanksgiving, or don't we like him?
I like him. He's not the most popular sibling, but, you know, I try to get along with everybody.
Is it because of that?
No. He kind of helps himself to a lot of things, but he feels entitled because he's older.
Okay.
Bastard.
The gallstone.
Yeah.
Nancy, thank you.
Thanks. You're beautiful.
Thanks, Nancy. Bye-bye.
Okay, this is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Hi, it's Cherie.
Hi, Cherie.
My mom was an artist, and one of the things I kept was her paintbrushes.
All of them?
No, just a few of them, and I made sure that they had paint on them, that they were used, and I keep them in my pencil cup on my desk.
Oh, that's nice.
And my one sister kept her easel and her last unfinished painting that she had done, and the hardest thing for us siblings to do was divide up her paintings. That was very difficult for all of us.
Was it difficult in the way that it means you had some, there was some fighting going on?
Yeah.
And was there no speaking going on?
Well, one of my siblings wanted to do it immediately after the memorial service. And some of
you mean that same day?
Yeah.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Some of us were not at all in the emotional state to do that.
And right.
So we put it off, and we made lists and prioritized them and tried getting, you know, doing it very fairly so that everyone would get some of their top picks.
Was there one really, you know, outstanding painting that everybody wanted?
Oh, my mom had probably easily over 100 paintings. And so we were able to divide them up.
Do you have 25 of her paintings?
No, well, between myself and my children, probably.
Oh,
quite a few of them. And
are they in a closet or on a wall?
Some of them are on walls, and you know, when I walk into the house, it's the first thing I see. And right after she died, I would talk to her painting.
Really?
But yeah. Was she good? Are they good paintings?
Oh, yeah, she was very good. She had a one-man show at a art museum in Florida.
Oh, my goodness.
She passed away.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything else, but yeah.
Well, the paintbrushes are sort of, with paint on them is a nice touch.
Yeah, it's something I'll always treasure.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
This goes sort of along with the receipt thing on the text line. When my dad died, my mom went into a nursing home. I still have the grocery list from the last time I went shopping for them in 2009. I carry it in my wallet.
Wow.
This is Dwayne.
Hey, Dwayne.
Yes, I was raised on a small farm up in northern Iowa, and my mom used to can a lot of things, and she used to can chickens. We used to butcher chickens and can them, and she died 12 years ago, and we found in her apartment a pint fruit jar full of chicken that was canned in 1995 and still good. I still have it in my basement.
How do you know it's still good?
Oh, it wouldn't be.
Because the liquid is still clear.
Wow. She was a good canner.
Yeah, she did. She used to, at this time of the year, we had 400 or 500 quarts of stuff in her basement, just stuff that she canned all summer.
Huh. Wow. And interesting.
My sister still has one. And sometime we're going to get together and dump them in a pot and have a chicken noodle dinner at my mom's.
Oh, that's. Judy's not that familiar with canning.
Well,
and she's making a face.
I could just hear a chicken going, not the can.
No,
the
if it's clear, if the liquid's clear, it's fine.
Yeah,
it hasn't gone bacterial.
It would have smelled really bad if it would have went bad. So everything's good, but we haven't did that yet. But
well, wait a minute. Well, you wouldn't have been able to smell anything if it's canned. That's sealed.
No, but if the seal broke, it would definitely smell.
Oh, right, exactly. If the seal were broken, right?
Yeah,
Dwayne,
so perfectly good.
Interesting memory. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
All righty. This is Vince. What did you save when somebody died?
I had a toolbox. Now there's a backstory to this.
Okay.
My dad knew he was going to die, so he started to divvy up his stuff and said, here, you take the toolbox. I refused to take it because when I was 10 years old, I had a paper route. Every time you had a flat tire, my father had this whole chest of tools. He didn't know a box wrench from a crescent wrench, but he had them. Mm-hmm. And I got wailed on for going into that toolbox. When I was older, my younger brother... We had six boys. My younger brother was able to go in that toolbox. So when he was giving this stuff up, I said, no, I'm not taking this. You wouldn't let me have it as a kid when I needed it. I don't want it now. And So what happened is my brother under me took it and painted it up. Yeah, he took it and he dialed it in. It was old. It was like 50 years old. And he took a paintbrush and he painted it up and put my name on it.
Uh-huh.
And 5 years after my dad died, my brother gave it to me. And I lost it. I mean, I totally lost it because I was so rude to my dad, knowing he was dying. I just totally lost it. I still have it.
Do you use it?
Not as a toolbox. It's a conversation. I put...
Is it in your living room?
No, it's in the basement, in the what I call the junk room.
Oh.
Yeah, but I was so adamant. And in fact, I told him to give it to me, and he did it. They lived in a cottage in Michigan. And I said, you give it to me, I'm going to throw it in the lake. And.
Okay, well, that's that sounds adversarial.
Yeah. It was. I was really adamant that he refused me and then let my brother go in and do whatever he wanted. I'd see the box open and the tools all spread all over.
So, do you now remember your father with affection or with fury?
It was hostile. And I don't blame him. I was, as I got older, I got more hostile. So
you got more hostile?
I was an idiot. Yeah, I was an idiot when it came to, you know, convention. And,
okay, so like an a-hole, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right. Just wanted to clarify that. All right,
that explains
great story,
why you
though,
listen
Vince.
To us.
That's right. Thank you, Vince.
Okay, 6 hours a week would be nice to hear you guys.
All right, well, bless
sweet.
Your heart. Thanks
Thank
a
you.
Lot. Bye-bye. If you have a town that has a funny motto, we'd love to hear it. I used to live in a town called Crystal Lake, and I don't know if they still have the town motto on the sign that says, Crystal Lake, a good place to live. Sort of setting the bar.
Boy, they had a winner there.
There must have been somebody in marketing working on that one. So let's hear what your town motto is, whether it's silly or stupid or pretty darn good. It's from Andy Griffith. What was the town, Bob? What was the town in I can't. Hooterville. Hooterville. What was
Mayberry?
It? Mayberry. Duh.
How do I know that?
Yeah. We're just talking about town slogans. And you can go online and find, Anchorage, Alaska, the hanging basket capital of the world. Albany, New York, cradle of the Union. So when you drive into your town, what does the sign say? I invoked before Crystal Lake, Illinois, where I used to live. Crystal Lake, a good place to live. Okay. This is Bev. Hi, Bev.
Hello.
Which town has a slogan that makes you laugh?
Well, my hometown is Batesville, Indiana.
Okay.
Uh-huh. It's southeastern Indiana. It's midway between Cincinnati, Ohio, and Indianapolis, Indiana. And so I grew up there. But when it's a phenomenal, phenomenal town. It's unique. But when you drive in, there's a large sign, and it says you can't beat Batesville.
It's like Crystal Lake, a good place to live, right?
Right. You cannot beat Batesville. And my late father, who died, my father and mother died in actually 11 days apart in May and June. And Dad would always you can't beat Batesville. And it was so true. It's a town of between 2,000 and 4,000, very small, but it has two Fortune 500 companies. One is they make hospital bed furniture.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It is a casket company. And so we all
can't go out of business in either one.
Right. Well, if they can't save you, they'll bury you.
There you go.
So you truly can't beat Batesville. Several churches, an 18-hole golf course. And all this is possible through the generosity of the professionals that work in Batesville. They actually now have a satellite office in Chicago for one of the Fortune 500 companies that are there. But you would think, oh, a sleepy little town, but no, it's not so sleepy, and it's vibrant. And
we always say, you can't beat Batesville.
Right.
Okay,
so, thank you for taking my call.
All right, thank you. We're talking about your town slogan, how silly it is or how spot on it is. This is Denise. Hey, Denise.
Oh, hey.
Hi, what's the town we're referring to?
The town I'm referring to is a town in western Kentucky called Hartford. And I'm not from there, but my parents were from near there. And anyway, there's a sign that says, welcome to Hartford, home of 2,000 happy people and a few sore heads.
That's a big sign.
I'm 63, and that sign has been there. It's still there, and it's been there since, I was a little kid. So,
oh, that's funny. Home of 2,000 happy people and a few sore heads.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thanks,
Denise.
Yeah. I wonder if every town has a slogan.
I don't think they all do. I think a lot of towns, you'll drive into the town and there'll be a little sign, which is not the official town sign, but it'll say Johnson City, home of the 2008 Illinois High School Association basketball champs or something. A lot of towns, particularly rural towns, will identify themselves by what?
By their
sports.
Athletes.
Yeah, by their athletic prowess.
I've been to three different cities. Castroville is the main one, I thought, that is the artichoke capital of the world.
Okay. Is there a sign that says that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is, and they have an artichoke festival.
Okay.
Or they've marketed themselves as such. But I've been to two other cities in California, the names of which escape me. that also call themselves the artichoke capital of the world.
Ah.
So it's some kind of scandal
a matter of who got it first.
Yeah.
Now, there are others on this list. For instance, Auburn in Alabama is called the loveliest village on the plains. Auburn, Washington, their slogan is more than you imagined. So if you imagine nothing, or if it never occurred to you to imagine Auburn, that whatever you encounter would indeed be more than you imagined.
Well, you know, you can make up like a stupid saying and attach it to any sound, like a sign,
town.
Like you won't, you know, Farquhar, Iowa, you won't believe it.
Right. We're something else. Beaver, Oklahoma, cow chip capital of the world.
Ooh.
I rather like Berkeley, California. This is for any of us who grew up in the 50s and 60s.
Doesn't say far out.
No, it says the People's Republic of Berkeley.
Yeah.
This is my kind of town, Chicago.
Is that Chicago slogan?
No, we were the second city.
I think,
but I don't know.
I don't think that was official. I think we were dubbed the second city by a community that felt that we always were second to New York. It's not like a positive.
And now we're the third city.
Behind who?
L.A.
Oh, in terms of size.
Yeah.
Right. But is Chicago, didn't we used to be Chicago the city that works? I thought it was. As long as you pass money under the table. I don't know. 312-981-7200. Hey, Ray, which city?
This is St. John.
And where's St. John?
It's next to Cedar Tucky.
Keep going.
Near Hammond, south of Hammond.
Oh, we went to St. John, Judy. Remember when we went to dinner with the Republicans?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was in St. John, Indiana.
Okay.
And what's their town?
They had a sign one time. On 41 there, it says, see St. John, not St. Peter.
Again, the bar is low.
Yeah,
there is. You go. Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, we got a call from someone who identified himself as Steve Bertrand, who said the town slogan, Kristen, you talked to Steve. The town slogan of Manteno was what? Hold on a second. We're getting Kristen up here.
Manteno is small town, big future.
Okay, and did Steve want the comment also included?
Said, we've been waiting for that for 50 years.
There you go. 312-981-7200 is our number. What's the slogan of your small town or a town that you drove through? This is Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning. I'm guessing this is not the official slogan of this town.
I don't think it is. It used to grow when I was growing up, and they always referred to Cleveland as the best location in the nation because
that's
of the transportation
right.
hub it had. And now the unofficial title of it is The Mistake on the Lake.
Okay. Okay.
I bet they still call themselves the best location in the nation. And it's really changed. Have you been back?
Oh, I go back every couple of years, yes.
Yeah, well, go downtown next time. It's very cool.
All right, I'm looking at Cleveland, The Mistake on the Lake, the best location in the nation, and America's North Coast.
Oh, I never heard that one.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, Jeff. This is Susie. What's the town that has this slogan? Susie?
Susie?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Okay. You have a town statement
yeah.
that, you know, what's it called? Slogan?
Yes.
What town?
Little town outside of Eagle River.
It's okay, Susie, you're kind of cutting out. Say again, what's the town name?
It's Felt, Wisconsin.
Felt?
Felt. P as in Peter, H-E-L-P-S. It's right outside
Oh, Felt.
Of
Phelps,
River.
Okay. It's in the swimmer. Phelps, Wisconsin.
Yes, as the swimmer. Yeah, it's probably 2 blocks long, that little town, and the sign, the billboard, as you enter, it's the destination, Phelps, the destination of your dreams.
Oh,
wow. Wow. And is it, Susie?
Well, we vacationed there for many years, so for those years, yes, I guess I could say it was.
Okay.
But it's hilarious. My twin brother took a Christmas card photo in front of that and sent it out as his photo in front of that billboard.
Phelps, the destination of your dreams.
Yes.
There you
go.
Thank you, Susie.
You're welcome.
This is Pat. I imagine this is a slogan that many towns have on their water tower. What is it, Pat, in Alsop?
It says, if you lived in Alsop, you'd be home now.
It's on the water tower.
Right.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, Pat, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you smoke?
10 years ago, I quit.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
But the voice still remains.
Yeah, my sister and I, she lives on the other end of the continent, and we have the same voice.
And she never smoked?
Oh, no, she smokes, still smokes.
Oh, she still smokes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
I just quit. I never liked it much.
You just woke up one day and said, I'm not doing this anymore.
Right.
And if you did it 10 years ago, it was getting pretty expensive even then.
Oh, $50 a carton.
Yikes.
Unbelievable.
Yikes. Yep. I remember when it used, what did it used to be, 18 or 16 or something like that?
I don't know.
Like
I didn't
that.
Smoke. Well,
yeah.
I hate to say, when I started smoking, it was like 25 cents a pack.
Exactly. Right. A lot cheaper.
But you didn't like it. So was it just a nervous habit?
It's because everybody else did it. I went to college and I learned to smoke.
That was it?
How much did you smoke by the time you quit?
Depended. Some days I didn't smoke at all.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And other days it was 2-3 packs, depending upon what the social activities were.
Right.
For the day.
Right. Yeah, I was up to 2.5 packs when I finally quit.
Really?
Oh, yeah,
so
but
glad
I
know
couldn't
you
say. But I couldn't say I didn't like it. I loved it.
Oh, I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
And the house is so much cleaner, and
you smell better. Your clothes smell better.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Exactly. All right. Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye. We're just talking about town slogans, and this is Lauren. Hey, Lauren.
Hi, how are you?
All right. Which town slogan would you like to tell us about?
I'm from Schererville, Indiana, which is just across the border here, and U.S. 30 and 41 cross there, and they run the whole north, south, east, and west of the country, so it's called the Crossroads of America.
Oh, perfect. Well, I mean, they do have some geographical backing for that.
Yeah, the intersection, though, is very anticlimactic. There's like a White Castle and a restaurant.
Well, as it should be.
This is it? This is the crossroads? There you go. Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
Okay. This is Rachel. Hey, Rachel.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
All right. Good. Which town slogan would you like to?
It's Genoa, Illinois. We're a little bit out west of Chicago, and ours is small town schools, big time pride.
So it's more about the school than it is about the town.
That's right, but it's all over our license plates and everything.
How do you have special license plates for your town?
Well, I mean the holders.
Oh, on the license plate holders. Okay. Yeah. Genoa, small town school.
Genoa.
I'm sorry.
There's a little heat with that.
You know, that was another thing we did one time about pronunciation of Illinois towns. Hey, Rachel, how do you pronounce Marseilles?
Marseilles.
Okay, well, a lot of people who live there call it Marseilles. And a lot of people...
I wouldn't have known that either.
Pardon?
I wouldn't have known that either.
Yeah. And when I moved to Princeton, there was a town down the road called Tiskiwa. And for a couple of years, I pronounced it Tiskiwa. What did I know? It's an Indian name. And another town called Buda. And I used to call it Buddha. People, no, it's Buda. So
you learned a lot in the country.
And we have small town schools and big time pride.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Rachel.
Bye-bye.
This is Debbie. Hey, Debbie.
Hey, I'm calling from Indiana.
Okay.
My daughter bought a little house to flip in a little community south of Merrillville. There's no sign that says what the name of the town is. The stores are all gone, but the sign says, population, just the way we like it.
So the town has or doesn't have a name?
No, there's no name, and there's no businesses there whatsoever. It's just a little community of, I don't know, 10 or 15 houses. But
so it's just a population sign.
Yep,
And it says, just the way we like it.
Yep. Very welcoming, is it?
Not very. Welcome to our town. Now go home. There you go.
Love you.
Thank you, Debbie.
Bye.
Have you two ever heard of Freeport, by the way? Freeport, Illinois?
Sure.
It's by Rockford.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That's Pretzel City, USA.
For what reason?
It's the home of the Pretzels. That's the name of their high school football and basketball, baseball teams. I guess it's a huge German community. They brought pretzels over. And it's Pretzel City, USA.
How do you know this, Sam?
I actually went to a college with a kid from Freeport, and I thought he was lying to me that he was from Pretzel City, USA. Also, DeKalb is the barbed wire capital of the
world.
I've
heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's quite that. Make a bracelet out of that one.
Didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to play.
There.
Can always jump in.
Back to you.
Thank you, Sam. This is Dave. Hey, Dave.
And good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, too. Which town?
Thank you, ladies. I'm just so enamored with your segment about the towns and their names and their mottos and slogans. I'm from a small town in western Pennsylvania called Indiana, Pennsylvania. It's the county seat of Indiana County, Pennsylvania, and we are and will always be the Christmas tree capital of the world.
And who decided that? Or did you just grow up with that? You just grow up knowing that's where you lived.
We all grew up with that. I may be a Stewart, but also Jimmy Stewart is from Indiana, Pennsylvania. The actor, Jimmy Stewart, is...
The dead actor.
Yeah, you're doggone right, and our favorite son.
Actually, you know what? I'm looking at this list, and it's on there. Indiana, Pennsylvania, the Christmas tree capital of the world. So Dave's not lying.
We harvest back when I was in school there, maybe 30 years or 35 years ago, almost 20 million Christmas trees a year.
That's a buttload of Christmas trees.
Well, that's what everybody did in the summer was trim them.
Okay, now, Dave, is it still Friday night for you, or did you go to sleep and wake up?
Absolutely, it's Saturday morning. I'm getting ready to go to work, but I'm just so enlightened and enamored with the conversation that I had to
Bless
share
your heart. We're glad you called. Thank you, Dave.
All right, girls.
Drive carefully.
Bye-bye. And this is, we're going to wrap it up with Sam. Hey, Sam.
Hi.
What town?
First off, I have to say that Marseilles, we call it Martucky.
Because?
Basically the same thing. There would be no way that town would ever be called Marseille. It's not quite that classy.
Okay. So you call it Marseilles or Martucky?
Martucky, yes.
Okay.
It is locally known as Martucky. But in Iowa, there's a bike ride that goes across Iowa every year.
And
so these towns, pull out all the stops, have parties, and there was a town last year, I believe it's Alden, Iowa, and it's got this huge dam right next to it, and so its slogan is best town by a dam site.
That's a good one.
That's cute. That's cute. Thank you.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, Sam. 312-981-7200 is our number. You can always call us or you can always text us.
Friends,
yeah.
You know, speaking of friends, I saw a picture today. Matt LeBlanc is going to be starring in a new TV series. Could he be handsomer with almost all gray hair?
He's cute.
Oh, yeah. My Lord. Yeah. He is something to look at.
Yeah, he's aged better than... who's the one that reminded us of Bertrand?
Oh, the tall one.
Yeah.
What's
Matthew Perry.
Matt Perry.
Yeah,
and,
Matthew
well,
Perry.
Well, he
had
a weight and drinking problem.
Yeah, right. He had
and
some issues.
Then David Schwimmer has stayed, David Schwimmer looks kind of the same, I think.
He does? Yeah.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah. So I was reading a story that said something that I thought was kind of surprising. It's a Cornell professor who said that he said this about Americans. We are more likely to have a friend of a different race than one who is 10 years older or younger than we are. which in a way you could extrapolate by
saying...
What
was his point? What was the... That we tend... That we're more ageist than we are racist?
I was just going to say that.
Okay.
Oh, great minds thinking alike. It's so thrilling.
I answered my own question. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, no. And so it made me think about... I actually don't have a close friend of another race. But... And I feel bad about it. And I think I mentioned the story of meeting someone who I liked and being friendly with her, but realizing that there was an overlay on the friendship that I was kind of more interested in getting to know her because she was of a different race.
Oh, interesting.
And that seemed that it was going to cloak everything and that it was an ungenuine sort of thing. I mean, we hadn't gotten that close that my sort of evaporating caused her any stress,
right.
I'm sure. But I'm thinking about, do I have a friend 82 years older?
No, 10 years older.
82 years old.
Right.
And or do I have a friend 62 years old? And I seem to be making a friend with someone who's, I think she's 62. I don't know if she's 62 or 63.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if she looks at me as if, well, I'm friends with this
older woman. Right.
Kind of
right.
Like that,
yeah.
I'm somebody's older woman.
Right.
And whereas in looking at what I hope is a burgeoning friendship, that I don't look at her as being, she happens to be younger, but I look at her as someone who I think is funny and nice.
Right.
And yeah, yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. Like that. So.
Well, in terms of close friends, I mean, certainly Joanne is my dear close friend, and Joanne's 10 years older than me. She's 81. And I, you know, my Princeton peeps, Marcy and Anne are in their 50s. Julie's in her 50s, I think. She may be in her 40s. I'm thinking, I don't think I have any close friends in their 30s, but I've got them 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. I cover a pretty wide swath age-wise.
That's impressive.
In terms of, really? Because it's not an issue. It doesn't seem like an issue for me. It's not like I'll sit down with Marcy or Julie or Anne and be thinking, oh, they're 20 years
younger.
Well,
that's what
20
I'm
years
saying.
Younger than me.
It's not the
but
overlay.
It's not, right, right.
For me in the making of this particular friendship.
Right.
I don't have that as a prism or whatever.
Right.
But I wonder among our girlfriends, if you found yourself becoming friends with somebody who was a decade older or a decade younger than you.
Or more at either
or
end.
More.
Right.
Yeah, because Julie, how old is Julie?
That's who I ran into. Oh, no,
wasn't
you ran into Lori.
And
Lori is in her early 50s, and Julie. I mean, most of my Princeton peeps are considerably younger. Harriet's my age. But.
Well, call us at 312-981-7200 if you can relate to this. The woman we're talking about, it was so funny. I was at the airport taking off, and this woman that I don't know says, Judy. And I'm thinking, you know, sometimes people recognize you from the radio, bizarre as that may seem. And I said, hi. And she said, I'm Kathy's friend, Lori. And we had a good old time.
Well, it's hard not to have a good old time.
She's fabulous.
With Lori Benucci, right.
Yeah, she is fabulous. And so we just took a picture and sent it to Kathy.
And sent it to me, and I thought, what?
It was a collision of worlds
right,
for you,
it was,
right?
Yeah, it was funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Lori as well, considerably younger than me. So, again, it occurs to me sometime that they may think, oh, well, Kathy and Harriet are our older girlfriends because Harriet's maybe a year or two younger than me. But
they probably just say, well, I'm friends with a woman who doesn't act her age.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder, I mean, in
whatever the age
there
is
no, I can't think of any platform on which that difference in ages seems significant.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, just in terms of thought process and attitude and pragmatism and general, I can't say politics because there are a couple in there that, who have different politics than I, but I, their age just is, you know, it's just not a factor. 312-981-7200. This is Seema. Hi, Seema.
Hey, Seema.
Hi. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Fine. How old
story?
Are you?
I'm finally getting a hold of you. I've been wanting to call for so long about different issues. Anyway, I'm 73 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I've always had younger friends. I've worked in every job that I've had. I was a recruiter for years. I was always the oldest. My friends are 62, 46, ooh, and 35.
Now, are these friends from work, or are they friends you see outside of work?
No, this is the 62-year-old is outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
The 46-year-old is a neighbor of mine that we've been friends for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the 30-year-old is actually someone from work. But I don't have any friends that are my age.
Not so one? Old college friends or high school friends?
No, I've moved so many different times in my life.
Are you still working?
I am still working part-time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am.
How old is your oldest friend?
My oldest friend is 62, and she lives in California. And originally, she was a client of mine, and after I left the position, and she left her position, became really close. And we meet every once in a while. She lives in Indiana. I live in Chicago. So it's a little bit difficult to get together. But I consider her my friend. I do have one friend in California who's my age.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
and that's the only one that I have. I can't say I have anyone older.
Do you dress young? Do you
look?
I mean, everybody thinks they look younger than their age. But do you look younger than your age?
Seema?
I have a daughter's 46 and a son 45, and they've always considered me the hip grandma or the hip mom, or, you know, I have like blonde hair. I'm 5'2". I used to be 5'5", but I had osteoporosis. So
do you wear leather pants?
Now. No.
Okay, good. Okay.
Do you know, I decided finally. Remember when I was, my shorts were in a knot because my son didn't think I should wear red leather pants?
Right.
I was in my 40s.
And he...
Well, I did wear leather pants once in my life. My husband is 75, and when he was in his 40s, he had a motorcycle. I used to go on the back with all the leathers, the leather hat, the leather.
That's different. You know. Riding on a motorcycle, wearing leather, that's different. Going to... an event.
No, I would never. When I dress, I'm a very typical, person. Yeah,
okay.
No.
Okay. Well, you look great in your shorts today, Seema.
We're glad you got through this time. Thanks for calling.
Oh, I am. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. 312-981-7200 is our number.
This is Debbie. Debbie, you are friends with somebody who is more than 10 years older than you.
Yes, I'm 58, and my closest friend is 76 years old,
mm-hmm.
and we've been friends with her and her husband since 1980.
Okay, do the math. How old were you when you met?
My goodness, now you're putting me on the spot here. Probably 23.
And at the time,
she would have been
in her late 40s?
In her late 40s, yeah.
Okay.
She's got kids who are my age.
Okay.
Wow.
And how did you happen to meet and connect?
Was it a business thing?
Our husbands work together.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's just a friendship that has grown. We get together several times a month. The four of us will go out to dinner and come back to each other's house and play cards and, you know.
Do you see her on your own?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Several times a month we get together.
Wow. And she talks about her grandchildren?
She's got one grandchild, and I do, too. But we get together, we do quilting, so we go to a quilt guild and, you know, we go on retreats and everything together. So the other two gals that hang out with us, they're in their mid-60s and late-60s, so I'm the youngest of the group.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How about friends of another race, Debbie?
No, you know what? I'm out in Marengo.
is that all white?
And there aren't that many potential people of another race in Marengo?
No, there really aren't.
You know, it was when we were talking about town slogans, somebody had texted us and said, until the 70s, there was a town, I think it was in Texas, And the slogan was it the blackest soil, the whitest people, or something like that. Until the 70s. Hmm. Amazing. All right. Well, thanks.
It really is. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem being best friends or friends with somebody of another race, but there's just not the opportunity
to
out
meet
here.
Them. Yeah. Right. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks
thank
a lot.
You. This is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
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 Okay. We've done that.
I belong to a book club.
Uh huh.
For 30 years.
Uh huh.
And our ages range from 34 to 85.
Oh, and how fabulous. That must be good discussions.
It's wonderful because everybody brings their own background to the discussion.
Right.
And nobody hesitates to say, oh, you're full of it.
Yeah.
You know? And because everybody is of different ages and different backgrounds, it's the most wonderful. I would rather give up any other group of people in my life than my book club.
What are you reading right now?
We just finished Catherine the Great.
Oh, it's a hard book club. Yeah.
Oh, Catherine the Great had a fabulous backstory.
Yeah, but it's probably a fat book, huh?
We always read a fat one for September because we don't meet in the summertime.
Oh, so it's your over the summer book.
Yeah, so it's an over the summer book. The other group I belong to is that I have a movie group, and the girls in that movie group are 15 years older than me, some are 15 years younger. And that's another group that, because there's a structure, it's so easy to be friends with these people.
Do you see them outside of book club, Barbara?
Yes.
You do.
Favorite recent movie with your movie club?
Oh, I can't tell you. I don't know.
Oh,
well,
okay.
You must be close to our age.
Yeah.
we see a lot of movies that we kind of vote on to go to.
Okay.
So some of them aren't the best, but we go for the fun and fellowship and go out to dinner afterwards.
Go see Hell or High Water. I just saw it for the second time. I think it's one of the best movies
really?
Of the year. Yep, Hell or High Water.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's really good. Excellent. All right.
I will take that recommendation.
Barbara, any girlfriends in your book club that are a different race than you?
No.
Okay, just a bunch of white girls.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Barbara.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll be back with Amy Guth after this. Amy Guth has shown up. She's just nursing this
separated shoulder,
shoulder situation.
Right.
All right.
And how long are you going to have to wear that sling thing?
Allegedly about a month or six weeks or so.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
But, you know, I'm so stubborn. When I hear 4 to 6 weeks, I really hear
12 days.
Yeah. Right. 4 to 6 days.
Okay, right.
We're on day, let's see, I got this on Wednesday.
Does it still hurt? Does it still feel separated?
It feels very sore.
When it says separated, does that mean it comes out of the socket?
No, that's dislocated. No, this is just tissue, not bone.
Okay. Oh,
so your
man.
Tissue's torn, and is it going to weave itself back together if
yeah,
you keep it stable?
It's superhuman tissue.
If she, does,
it's
if
come
she doesn't
together.
Take off her sling for in the next
right. 12
couple
weeks.
Days.
Although, I did go to an event, and I took it off and just kind of kept
your arm.
A sweater over my arm
right.
So it didn't and I did okay, but I mean it feels better when I have the sling on, but I don't like it. I don't want any part of it. And I was just navigating an airport. I just flew back into O'Hare this morning, and navigating an airport with one arm in a sling is just
right.
not
easy.
Good.
Yeah. Not good
not
and
good.
Not easy.
No, but many helpful people were very kind and helped me, you know, schlep my bag and things like that. So
okay. All good.